Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. This show airs every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/maxinethompson.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here's your host of the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show, Dr. Maxine Thompson.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. I'm Dr. Maxine Thompson of MaxineThompsonBooks.com and MaxineThompson.com. I'm the author of novel The Ebony Tree, award-winning novel Hostage of Lies, short story collection A Place Called Home, and latest novel L.A. Blues and upcoming sequel L.A. Blues 2. I'm also the author of e-books that you can find on Kindle, the short story collection, Place Called Home, Proverbs for the People, Never Knew Love Like This Before, All in the Family, The Hush Hush Secrets of Writing Fiction That Sells, and others. Tonight's guest is author Dr. Richard W. Walker. He is the author of African American Healthy, and the subtitle is What You Need to Know to Protect Your Health, and there's another subtitle, How Vitamin D3 and Other Smart Choices Can Dramatically Improve Your Well-Being. Good evening. How are you, Dr. Walker?
Good evening. How are you? And thank you for inviting me on the show.
Oh, thank you for coming. I know we had a little mix-up last week, and I didn't schedule anyone. I felt that this show was too important to miss.
Well, that means you're going to have to invite me back for another show to make up.
Oh, yes. Well, I'd like you to talk about what inspired you to write this book.
Well, you know, what I became quite enamored with and also frustrated with at the same time was the statistics, the facts, the information regarding the African-American community and health. I don't think it's any surprise to anyone that when you look at chronic diseases in the African-American community, what you're going to find is a disparity in the kind of chronic diseases and its collateral damage that is prevalent in the in this community. When I started looking at the kind of results and began to realize that while African-Americans are on medications, we are still dying at a rate of 2 to 5 times greater than anyone else. And the question was why, and a lot of people have been attempting to evaluate and discover what the problems is, and it's not a single problem, it's a multifactorial problem. But one of the things that has not been addressed at all was the relationship of the chronic diseases to deficiencies in vitamin D3. And when reviewing the literature with vitamin D3, so much of the literature really was talking about the benefits of vitamin D3. And then I came across a study in which they evaluated over 3,000 African Americans over 2 time periods separated by approximately 10 years to discover that 97% of all the people that were evaluated in the second study revealed that African Americans were deficient in vitamin D3. That's 97% of us are deficient in this single vitamin, which has tremendous overtones in the areas of health.
And isn't vitamin D something that you can get from the sun, but possibly because of the melanin in African-American skin, it's harder to absorb that way?
Well, you're right. Basically, what's happening is that the vitamin D that we get in our body comes from nutrients. And when it comes from nutrients, basically it's in the inactive form. That means that it's not yet ready to do what it has to do in the body in order to be effective. That is to have an effect on what's called the vitamin D receptor gene. Now, what happens is when you go into the sunlight, the ultraviolet rays of the sunlight converts the inactive vitamin D to the active vitamin D3. And in people of color, regardless of whether, naturally, regardless of whether they are African American or not, people of color, because of the pigmentation of our skin, we cannot absorb as much vitamin D, as much ultraviolet B light. Now, the issue really is, not only can we not absorb as much, it takes us at least four times as a person who's who does not have melanin pigmentation, but we also have moved indoors and have covered our bodies. So now we work indoors, we wear long sleeves and so on, so we're not out there in the sun. And there lies the problem. Now, I must also say for those who are not African-American or people of color, 70% of all people in the United States are deficient in vitamin D3. So we're talking about the entire population.
That's something. Well, you talk about the silent, the African-American health is a silent epidemic. And you mentioned the word collateral damage. Could you explain that?
Yes. It's silent because... No, I mean, everybody knows that there's chronic diseases in the African-American community, but no one is really speaking out about what can be done in this regard apart from taking medication. The collateral damage is, let's say, like if you have diabetes, the collateral damage is nerve damage. It's damage to the vessels in the extremities, the foot, the hand, the arms, the legs, and the diabetes causes inflammation in the blood vessels, consequently a decrease in blood flow results in nerve damage, it results in darkening of the skin, people begin to feel numbness and tingling and so on, and if you combine diabetes, type 2 diabetes, with hypertension, which is also known as the silent killer, then you have a double whammy. The combination of diabetes and high blood pressure is a deadly combination, regardless of whether you have whether you're deficient in vitamin D3 or not. But without the D3, it's even more deadly. People who have cardiovascular disease, the greatest number of people who die or who have heart attacks are people who have the combination of high blood pressure and diabetes. Then if you add the deficiency of vitamin D3, we've got an epidemic here that very few people are talking about. And this was the thrust of getting this book out and trying to get the message out.
Well, what is metabolic syndrome?
Metabolic syndrome is a syndrome that is a precursor to one developing type 2 diabetes. It is often demonstrated by one having a waistline that is greater than the acceptable waistline. For men, it's a waistline of greater than 40 inches. For women, a waistline is greater than 35 inches. It also is combined with having elevated lipids, such as cholesterol, triglycerides, the fractionated cholesterol, which is called the HDL or the LDL. It's also with an elevated blood sugar. And so it's a combination of things that puts it into the metabolic syndrome. Now, one of the other things for people who are of Latin descent is a thing that's called acanthosis nigricans. Basically, what that is a dark pigment that occurs either under the arms or the back of the neck. Everybody thinks it's because the people are dirty, but that's not it at all. It is a precursor, at least a 10 to 15-year precursor to the development of diabetes. So it's a real, real early warning sign. You find it predominantly in the Latino community. You can find it in any population, but they experience this more than anyone else. No one knows the reason why. So the metabolic syndrome is that syndrome which precedes the development of type 2 diabetes.
Okay. Well, what is your recommendation for exercise?
Oh, you're talking about one of my favorite subjects. I tell people very straightforward, if you want to get dementia, don't exercise. Straightforward. The literature shows that people who exercise, the likelihood of them getting dementia is markedly reduced. Exercise should be done on a regular basis. Now, here's one of the problems that people tell me. I don't have the time to exercise. Well, if you say that, it will never occur. It has to become part of your lifestyle. When people get up in the morning, they don't say, well, I don't have time to brush my teeth. You just brush your teeth because it's the natural thing that you do as part of your day. Exercise has to be part of that formula for the day. What I recommend people to do is no less than 3 times a week, 30 minutes at a time. Ideally, it should be 5 times a week, no less than 30 minutes at a time. And by the way, the 30 minutes does not have to be consecutive. You can do 6 times a day. You can do 15 and 15, any kind of formula that you want. So if you say, well, I can't finish my workout in the morning or the evening, just finish it. Just complete the 30 minutes. And no one can tell me they can't do the 30 minutes. You can do the 30 minutes. It's easy. You just got to make up your mind to do it. What that does is it increases your heart rate, gets that heart rate going, increases the amount of circulation of blood to all areas of the body, especially the brain. It's utilizing up the stored fats in the cells, and it's also adjusting an area in the brain called the hypothalamus, which sets the metabolic rate for the body. So exercise does all kinds of wonderful things.
Okay, well, what are the benefits of vitamin D3? I see you have a lot of them listed in the book.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some of the things of which I find to be most dramatic. If we take any population of women, and I were to tell them, how would you like to reduce breast cancer by 58,000 cases a year? I would think that anyone would say it would be shocked to realize that by taking adequate amounts of vitamin D3, you can reduce breast cancer by at least 50%. Now, there was and I have this in my book also, there was a meeting of the world's leading vitamin D3 researchers, and they signed an open letter indicating that if women were to take adequate amounts of vitamin D3, this is any women, African-American, Caucasian, Asian, it doesn't matter, take adequate amounts of vitamin D3 to at least get their blood level of vitamin D3 to at least 50 nanograms per mil. That's just the way it's measured, 50 nanograms per mil, there would hardly be any breast cancer. That's a pretty stunning statement. If you take the number one killer of African-American men, which is prostate cancer, and you take adequate amounts of vitamin D3 to do similarly, you will not find much in the way of prostate cancer. You can reduce prostate cancer by at least 48,000 cancers. And there are seven known cancers that are positively affected by taking vitamin D3. There's colorectal cancer, esophageal cancer, stomach cancer, skin cancer. I already mentioned two others. So just in the area of causing cancer, vitamin D3 is a champion. There are suspected 17 cancers in total that vitamin D3 may have a very significant effect on. The research is still being done on a number of those 17. If we talk about the benefits of vitamin D3, most people realize that, you know, when you're talking about vitamin D3, most people identify with that with disease of the bone. So if there's a if someone is prone to osteoporosis or osteopenia, which is the osteopenia is the diminution of calcium and bone mineralization. Osteoporosis is the disease which where you can have an increased amount of fractures. So most people are identified with vitamin D3 relating to the bone. But let's talk about high blood pressure. Vitamin D3 is known to have an effect on the kidneys where it does one of two things. One, it does two things. Number one, it has an effect on a very complex system called the renin-angiotensin system. That system is the system that controls the blood pressure. What this what vitamin D3 is known to do is have an effect on the renin, a particular hormone that has an effect on another hormone called angiotensin, and then that has an effect on another hormone called aldosterone. We don't have to really know what all these things are, but once you affect the renin, you decrease the amount of renin, the renin begins to lower the amount of fluid that is retained in the body. If you lower the amount of fluid that's retained in the body, you are reducing the likelihood of having high blood pressure. The other thing that it does is for those people who do have high blood pressure, who've had it for a long time, there's evidence that shows that the vitamin D3 protects the kidney from having damage caused by the excessive amount of blood pressure, which damages the kidney. The vitamin D3 will help prevent that damage, therefore by reducing the amount of end-stage renal disease. In other words, it reduces renal failure. If we look at diabetes, one of the major things with type 2 diabetes is the loss of cells that produce insulin. Vitamin D3 protects those cells, and it also helps with the body's ability to control blood sugars. So, if you affect the high blood pressure and the diabetes, guess what else you affect? I mentioned the collateral diseases. You reduce the likelihood of renal failure. You reduce the likelihood of stroke, and you reduce the likelihood of heart attacks. Those are the main killers in the African-American community. So just by adding vitamin D3 to the regimen of our lives, you know, there's a lot of other things that we can do, but just think about just this one thing, then we would have a major effect on cancer and on the chronic diseases that affect our community.
How about green tea extract? You mentioned that in your book, too.
Oh, you're talking about one of my favorites now. Green tea extract is a great thing to use. Now, I'm not talking about the Lipton's green tea or one of the one of those kinds of products. I'm talking about a pure extract. That is the liquid form of green tea. That liquid form of green tea is really, really significant because one of the things that it does is it has an effect on what's called the mitochondria, which are the factories of the cells. Now, what green tea does is it has a chemical in there called EGCG, Dr. Maxine, you know, in medicine, we like to come up with all these acronyms and initials and all that sort of stuff. Well, one of the reasons is that if you mention the entire name is so long, so I'm just going to give you an example. EGCG stands for epigallocatechin gallate. And what that is, it's a polyphenol, or it's a substance in the body that is an antioxidant that captures free radicals. And it does it in particular in the mitochondria. It does it throughout the body, but it does it in particular in the mitochondria, removing free radicals. And as most of us know, free radicals are the things that cause all kinds of damage. Free radicals lead to inflammation, which leads to disease. So green tea is great in terms of helping reduce that. As a matter of fact, green tea is so good that they now have a topical treatment for skin cancer whose base is made out of green tea. Researchers are also looking at how they can take green tea and make it into an anti-cancer IV medication. That's how potent it is.
Okay, well, let's talk about diet. Change your diet.
Okay, this is where people want to throw rocks at me, Dr. Maxine. You know, when I start stepping on their toes, they say, listen, this is getting personal. When we talk about diet, one of the things that is leading to all the chronic diseases that I mentioned is the fact that we eat poorly. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that if you go into the inner city, you don't find many supermarkets. You don't find the big supermarkets that have all the vegetables and so on. You find usually the little supermarket, the mom-and-pop shop, the little bodegas and so on. And they don't have a lot of fruits and vegetables. And because of that, some of the things that we eat are not the best and the most healthiest. There are things that I recommend that are very simple. It's a very simple formula for people to follow, and I don't call it a diet. I try not to get people stuck on diets, but to have a change in their lifestyle. Now, that change in lifestyle in nutritionally is real simple. Don't eat any white foods. Just take white foods out of the house. And let me give you an example of what I mean by white foods. There are five predominant white foods that we're speaking about. And I'm not talking about milk. I'm not talking about the things like white meats such as chicken or pork. I'm talking about starchy foods: white rice, white potatoes, white bread, white sugar, and white pasta. All of those things have a significant effect on another hormone that's called insulin. And insulin is very, very important in terms of how and what it does to cause us to gain weight. These white foods, you can substitute. If you talk about white rice, just change it to brown. If we're talking about white potatoes, that means the French fries, the white potato itself, the potato chips, and all those kinds of things. If you eliminate that, you substitute yams or sweet potatoes. For white sugar, no white sugar, brown sugar, honey, or especially no artificial sweeteners, none. Most of those I consider, in much literature, it finds these things to be toxic. So if you substitute for white sugar, you can use stevia or truvia. These are natural sweeteners that do not have an adverse effect on the insulin. If we're talking about white bread, I recommend that you do not eat any kind of white bread. If you buy wheat bread at the supermarket, most of the time the wheat bread at the supermarket is they've added just enough wheat in order to put the label wheat on the package. So I tell people, do not get the wheat bread unless you're going to a whole food store or store that that you know for sure that it's going to have really natural wheat bread. But Ezekiel bread is great. Rye bread is great. 7-grain and 9-grain breads are great. For pasta, just substitute white pasta for green or brown. The white pasta is made out, the green pasta is made out of spinach. The brown pasta is made out of whole wheat. I think I covered all of them. But those are the substitutes. And again, the reason why you do not want to continue with the white foods is because they have an adverse effect on the insulin. They make the insulin go up too high and too fast. There is a product on TV where they have the athletes come on and they talk about the diets and how much weight they've lost over a period of time. And most of these are retired athletes. Well, the basis of that program is, the basis of that diet is exactly what I'm telling the listening audience right now. It all is revolves around lowering the amount of insulin that the body produces. If you lower the amount of insulin, the insulin will not have a signal on the cell that causes the cell to store fat. The lower the insulin signal, it tells the cell to burn fat. And so that's the biggest difference.
Okay. Well, what about stress? I've heard it said that other races eat pork and eat certain things that African Americans eat, but they don't develop a lot of the diseases because they're not under the stress of racism.
Well, you know, you're right. There's a stress. There are two kinds of stresses that I'm thinking about now. One is the stress of being African American and what we are subject to in our society. Then there's the stress of just being alive and trying to do what you do on a daily basis. There is one particular thing that I mentioned in the book is called John Henryism. And John Henryism is a condition. The folklore hero John Henry died because he tried to outwork a machine. And why did he try to outwork a machine? Well, he tried to outwork a machine because he was a good, strong, hard worker, but he didn't have the tools to overcome the machine. Well, in our society, oftentimes what happens is you have African Americans who are extremely hard workers, extremely dedicated to the work that they do, but at the same time, if we don't always have all the tools to go out there and be able to make a mark in society. That doesn't mean that we don't do it. It's just that, you go out there and you need to have some capital. Well, where are you going to get the capital? How are you going to get the capital? And a lot of times when they want you to get the capital, they want you to have experience before they will give you the capital. Well, guess what? Unless I get the capital, I can't get the experience. And Dr. Maxine, you know how that goes. You know, it's a vicious cycle. So here's that stress, that John Henryism stress. And what we try to do is we try to work our way through to success without having some of the other assets that other people get in order to make it happen. That is that is one kind of stress. The other stress is just the life stresses on a daily basis. And then when you add that to who we are as a people and what we've been subjected to, you got another source of stress. Now, what does stress do, regardless of whether it's the John Henryism stress or just life stresses? What does that do? It causes the production of cortisol, which is called the stress hormone, or as we say in the business, the death hormone. Why do we call it that? Because cortisol goes up, and when cortisol is elevated, it has an adverse effect on the heart, on the brain, on muscle tissue, on almost everything. It is a hormone that is elevated when we are under stress. The body is designed to handle that stress, but on a limited basis. In our society, what we have is we don't have stress on a limited basis. We have stress that's nonstop from all kinds of reasons.
I call it the black Texas. I laughed with a friend at lunch last week. He said, he's 72. He said, boy, if you can live to hit 80 and be black, you done. I mean, I was fighting with every major corporation in my life. I said, wait a minute. And I said, but what if I was had gotten to the point that my health won't be able to stand up under this? You know, I've always had the power of the mighty pen, but
yes.
As I'm getting older, I'm beginning to feel the long-term stress of always being in battle mode, always being like David and Goliath.
Yes,
what I do
yes.
on this show is battling for black writers to have a voice.
Yes,
I've done it
yes.
for 10 years. It takes its toll on me.
It takes its toll. Yes, ma'am, it does. And that toll is manifested in the adverse effects of cortisol. So cortisol goes up. I mean, let's just look at a study, and this is irrelevant on whether we're talking about the African American population or not. But let's just look at the effects. It was a study that was done in New York, and it was found that the Monday is the day in which there's the greatest amount of heart attacks. Well, why is that? People are stressed out going to work. The culprit is cortisol. And it damages hearts. It damages brain. As the cortisol level is higher, there's greater amount of dementia. There's a greater amount of diabetes, a greater amount of hypertension and Alzheimer's disease caused by stress. So the thing is that you've got to be able to try and counter that stress. Well, that's easier said than done. You know that, and I know that. But some of the things that can be done in order to counter that is you can take what's called DHEA. DHEA. What does that stand for? Dihydroepiandrosterone. And you take that because it will counter the effects of the stress. So if you're under a lot of stress, you really want to be on some DHEA. For women, I tell people to take about 25 milligrams of the DHEA. For men, 50 milligrams. That's providing you haven't had a test in order to measure it. Once you have a test to measure it, then you may want to adjust that accordingly to the blood levels. As I'm talking about dosages, let me just go back and mention dosages of vitamin D3. What I recommend in general is that people should be taking at least 2,000 international units of vitamin D3 as a general statement. That's for anyone regardless of whether they are African-American, Asian, Caucasian, it doesn't matter. No less than 2,000 international units. But if you're African-American and you have any kind of health issues, I would recommend 5,000 international units. I take 10,000 international units on a daily basis. A lot of times what doctors will say if they find that you're deficient in vitamin D3, they'll tell you to take 50,000 international units once a week for 8 weeks and then stop. Well, you can't stop. The 50,000 is to replenish what you lost when you're found to be deficient. With that deficiency, you rebuild the deficiency with the 50,000 per week, which is a prescription item. But once you finish the 50,000, you need to be on the vitamin D3 daily regimen. And for most people, it's 2,000. For African Americans in general, it's 5,000 international units a day.
Hey, Maxine, we have a question here. Do you mind if I read it?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. It says, do you recommend a vegetarian diet? Why or why not? If if recommended, what do you recommend eating to get essential nutrients?
Well, I think a vegetarian diet, whether you do it or you're not, it's a matter of choice, a matter of what agrees with your lifestyle. And but I do say that it's imperative that you make certain that you supply your body with sufficient amount of protein. You can go on the internet, Google proteinaceous foods or protein foods. You're going to come up with all kinds. You're going to come up with the meats, the fishes, and then you're also going to come up with the vegetarian proteins. You've got black beans, you got eggs, there's a lot of things that you can consume. But also with that, I would encourage you to follow a regimen of take a good, strong multivitamin, one that works well for you. For me personally, I won't mention any particular type, but I would say most of the ones that you can get that are generally recommended on TV, I don't recommend those. I usually recommend something, some products that I know for sure are more developed for the individual and not just a mass market type of product. Also, I recommend that people regularly be on green tea, vitamin D3, and for a vegetarian, they can go on cod liver oil. They may want to use cod liver oil if that doesn't disagree with them, or omega-3 if they choose not to have any meats.
All right, thank you.
Did they have a name with that email, Corey?
No, they didn't. They didn't sign it.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a great email, great question. Thank you so much. Well, let me ask you about, you talk about cancer, and you've already covered the kidney disease, but let's talk about smoking and some of the other things like over-drinking that leads to cancer, too.
Well, all of these things are adding toxins to our body. All of the, you know, the alcohol, the smoking, what they are doing is they are increasing the amount of free radicals that we have in our body. The nature of disease is free radicals and inflammation. We now know that inflammation is the root cause of most diseases that we are talking about. If you're consuming alcohol, alcohol is not something that the body tolerates well, and it is damaging to the liver. A lot of people realize that people who drink alcohol are subject to cirrhosis of the liver. Well, ask this question, why the liver? Why is that happening to the liver? The liver is the primary detoxification organ of the body. So what happens when you're consuming alcohol? You are causing the liver to work in excess of its capacity to detoxify the body. And then you subsequently poison the very organ that is helping to protect you from the alcohol. That's how potent alcohol is. Takes a while to do, but it will certainly knock out that organ. Once you knock out that organ, you cannot detoxify anything. And so it leads to our demise. You talk about cigarette smoking. Cigarette smoking has a lot of toxins in it. These toxins are effective in the lung as well as other parts of the body, which is the reason why with smoking you get lung cancer. And you can override the body's ability to defend you, which is one of the reasons why vitamin D3 is so important. Taking omega-3s are so important. I talk about the green teas and all of these things. All of this comes down to the body being subjected to free radicals And just for the sake of understanding, imagine, I'm going to try and explain what a free radical is. Oftentimes we assume that people know what it is, and they may not. Free radical, imagine a room full of glass. The chairs are glass, the TV's glass, the table's glass, and then you drop a bowling ball in there, or you throw a bowling ball in there. Obviously, something's going to get broken. A free radical is that bowling ball. When that bowling ball is loose and it's running around anywhere in the body, if it's in the cell, if it's in the mitochondria, remember the mitochondria is the energy factory of the cell. That's why you have a temperature, not a fever. That's why you have a temperature. You measure your, if you put a thermometer in your mouth, you can measure your temperature. The reason why we have a temperature, the reason why we're warm, is because the body is producing energy. When it produces that energy causes our body to be nice and warm, and the consequence is we are alive. When your body is sick, what happens is that your body's temperature increases. As it increases, your temperature goes up. The mitochondria are working overtime. You have to keep the mitochondria clean. Green tea does that. And so here we have a whole array of things that we're using, all these things to try and keep the body free of those free radicals, reduce the amount of free radicals so we can reduce what's called oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is a combination of all the loose free radicals everywhere in the body that's causing the body to begin to break down.
Well, what about bacterial, viral, fungal, and parasitic infection?
All of those are bad boys, and when they get in the body, the body's what it's attempting to do is to mount a defense. That's where the immune system comes in. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Maxine, because one of the things that's really important that a lot of people really don't realize is that 80 to 90% of the function of the immune system is in the GI tract. It's in your intestines. It's in your large and small intestines. We really need to keep our large and small intestines clean. Now, I know a lot of people who are listening are probably very surprised. One of the things I recommend that people do is that they do a detoxification. You know, you can detoxify with just juices. You can detoxify with just water. There's you can use probiotics. There's all kinds of things that you can use. But you need to clear out that GI tract periodically. Some people never, ever have that done. Some patients of mine, when I find that they're getting sick all the time, there's a procedure that can be used. It's not a procedure, but there are drinks that you can use when you're going to go get a colorectal exam, and they're going to do a colonoscopy, and they have you drink this stuff that causes you to flush. I mean, I don't recommend that for anyone to do on a regular basis. But one of the things that you might want to do is, and you know, they sell products that will also make your flush your GI tract. You know, Grandma used to give us enemas. And I'm not recommending anybody to go out and get an enema. Grandma had something going on here. She would do those enemas. They had some knowledge of it, that if you clean out that GI tract, you would also be healthier. I used to think it was nonsense when I was younger and I was going to medical school, and my grandma used to tell me, well, you know, you doctors, you just need to have an enema. You know, I'd say, Grandma, come on, you know, what are you talking about, an enema? Well, guess what? She was on to something. But in addition to that, in addition to the GI tract, one of the other things that people can benefit by, again, is vitamin D3. Why? Because vitamin D3 stimulates the immune system to produce antimicrobial polypeptides, antimicrobial polypeptides. That is, stimulate the immune system to have to produce substances in the body that are that will fight virus, bacteria, parasites. That comes from taking vitamin D3.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great to know. That's some great information. Well, how about turmeric, the spice?
Yes, turmeric. And turmeric is, there's another name that it goes by, and that is coumarin. And it's good stuff. It is something that is used for inflammation as well. I recommend it for people who are, if you've got the various kinds of inflammation, turmeric is really quite good in supporting or reducing the amount of inflammation that people get. It's also good for helping to minimize pain when people are in pain. So it's something that's very nice, easy to use. You might have a little smell of curry when you go out, but it's something that can help you a lot.
How about garlic?
I love garlic. Garlic is great to help reduce the amount of hypertension. Before there were medications for high blood pressure, people used garlic. But it must be aged garlic. It just can't be garlic that you get, you know, right out of the garden or something. It has to season. It must sit for at least a year. At least a year. So if you're going to use garlic, get aged garlic. Make certain it says that.
Can you get that at the store, at the Whole Foods store?
Yes, ma'am, you certainly can.
Okay. And obesity, let's talk about that.
Oh, boy. That, you know, we already did a little bit, but when we talk about obesity, as we are discussing that, one of the things that's really important when you're talking about obesity is you got to understand that all the conditions, Dr. Maxine, all the conditions that we've mentioned on this radio broadcast so far are consequences of being overweight. The high blood pressure, the type 2 diabetes, strokes, heart attacks, end-stage renal disease, they all start with being overweight. Why? We've already mentioned a lot of reasons. Obesity contributes significantly to inflammation. It produces toxins. There was a recent study which is really quite fascinating. We say that obesity is directly related to diabetes or type 2 diabetes. In some recent research, they've identified that that's not the case. It's not obesity that leads to diabetes. It's the fact that fat cells retain more toxic substances, and the toxic substances have an effect on the pancreas and the beta and the beta cells in the pancreas that really is the source of the problem with diabetes. So no matter how you slice it, you got to cut down the number of fat cells. Now, one of the things I do want to mention is that there's a thing that's called ventral adiposity. Fancy word for saying fat on the belly. When somebody has that big old fat belly, regardless of whether it's a male or female, that fat belly is a great source of disease. We know that by doing research on animals, if you were to take the fat that's on the belly of an animal and inject it into a non-fat, let's take rats for example, lab rats, you were to take the the fat from the belly of a fat rat injected into the skin of a non-fat rat, that non-fat rat will develop disease. But if you take fat that's from the hind legs of that fat rat and inject it into the non-fat rat, they won't get any disease. We also know that the fat that's on the abdomen of humans is toxic fat, leads to cancer, leads to high blood pressure, diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. For the reasons both from the fat itself as well as for the amount of toxins that is contained in the fat.
Well, that is a large problem in our community, even with young children, and I'm glad Michelle Obama has, First Lady Michelle Obama has, you know, tried to address that issue.
Yes, and, yes.
You know, I look at the children now, I said, we were so thin when we were children. That's my thinnest time, because we played all the time.
All the time. All the time. And we were out in the sun.
Yes.
Okay, so we were exercising and we're out in the sun. So we were getting all the things that we're talking about here. And then, you know, that, you know, all those things were doing well. And nowadays in school, we're because of the economy, we're cutting back on exercise programs. We're indoors. We're doing all those things that lead to harm.
Well, you have a chapter at the beginning of the book called "Understanding and Slowing the Aging Process." You know, I live in California, and I know that this is a place that really puts a high value on youth, and you see a lot of older women. They come into the hospital. My daughter is a registered nurse now. She say the 90-year-old women come in, and they have had facelifts, and they have their makeup on at 3 in the morning. And I think it might be a good thing. They've had tummy tucks.
Yes.
But, you know, for our community, that isn't so prevalent. So what are some of the things we could do to try to keep ourselves looking? Because basically so many of us have beautiful skin.
Yes.
What can we do to keep our bodies looking younger?
Well, you know, you mentioned it in a number of the questions that you asked me. Number one, we got to get the weight off. We have to start doing a much better job in controlling our nutrition. We cannot continue. You know, I'm all for the small mom and pops. I'm all for entrepreneurism in the community, but at the same time, they are not. We're not getting the kind of nutrition that we need. We have to stop with the junk food. We're into the sodas. We're into the chips, the stuff out of the bag, all those snacks. We have got to get to a point where we, like grandma, you know, what grandma did, grandma was growing food in the garden. She was going down to the supermarket, to the grocery store, and going where they had the vegetables and so on. We got to return to that. We've got to get all that the quick so-called you know, foods for the modern family. That's just not happening. Most of that is a deception. You know, God does not have to make food and package it and then add fructose corn syrup and all these other things to it. It's straight out of the dirt. You know, you got an apple, an orange, you got a banana, you got grapes, you got all that. I mean, and it's sweet. And then what they do is they add sugar to it. I don't care whether they call it sugar or they call it fructose, it's still sugar. So one of the single most important thing for our community is we have to return to exercising, and we've got to go and we got to really start eating well. And that is the beginning of our success. And in addition to that, I strongly recommend that people get on a multiple vitamin, they get on fish oil, and they get on vitamin D3. Don't forget, they need to be on the green tea tincture if they have that available. That's a basic formula.
Wow, that is great. I thank you so much, because this is an epidemic, and it's really pandemic. It's sad.
Yes, ma'am.
For many
That's right.
of us that are sick. I go to a clinic called Global Cardio Care, and I've even met young people there who've had kidney failure, and there are people who've had strokes that have had their condition reversed, but they teach you a lot of the same thing that you have in your book. So
yes,
give out your title and where your books are available again.
Yes, the title is African American Healthy, What You Need to Know to Protect Your Health. It's about how vitamin D3 and other smart choices can dramatically improve your well-being. You can get it at the easiest place to get it is Amazon.com, and you get it at a discount there. But you can also go to Barnes & Nobles. You can order it through there. Some of the Barnes & Nobles carry it. But those are the greatest places.
And your publisher, do they carry the book, Square One Publishers?
Yes, ma'am. You can contact Square One Publishers directly, they would certainly be really glad to hear from you.
Well, thank you. This is life-saving work that you're doing. I hope you will be doing a follow-up book on this, too.
Yes, ma'am. I'm working on it as we speak.
Okay. Well, please come back on the show when your new book is out. I look forward to it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Please return next week to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week. Love you all.